AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's going to be a first, the U.S. Surgeon General to declare gun violence a public health threat.
Surgeon General Vivek Murthy says gun-related deaths for American children under 19 are more than 120% higher than other high-income countries. His report says more than half of U.S. adults say they or their family members have experienced a gun-related incident, anything from threats to death. The Surgeon General says it's now a national health crisis, with firearm violence now the leading cause of death among children and adolescents.
ABC's Andy Field. Observers say a ruling by Israel's Supreme Court could topple Prime Minister Netanyahu's ruling coalition. The court ruled that Israel Defense Forces must begin drafting ultra-Orthodox men for military service. A federal judge in Chicago sentenced Ed Burke, formerly the longest-serving alderman in city history, to 2 years in prison for squeezing developers who needed his help in securing permits. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee tourism had a historic year in 2023. Visitors spent over $2 billion in Milwaukee County. That's a quarter of Wisconsin's 2023 tourism profits. Visit Milwaukee President and CEO Peggy Williams-Smith held a press conference ahead of the Republican National Convention's arrival in the state's largest city.
We believe in economic development based on tourism. The more people we can bring in to go to shows at the Pabst across the way, or the Riverside, or the Symphony Center, or come to Summerfest, we know that that helps the entire community.
The RNC is expected to attract 50,000 visitors to the city of Milwaukee. The National Weather Service has confirmed 6 tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin this past Saturday. Tornadoes form during severe thunderstorms from warm, moist air. Higher temperatures and severe storms could be causing more tornadoes. We've had more than 30 so far this year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start the homestand with a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 6-3 win over the Rangers. Bottom of the fifth, Willie Adames loaded the bases by taking a walk. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
When the game deals you a walk, and we talk about meeting the game halfway. You win the pitch by taking it, and that's not always rewarded, and it's not always glamorous.
Then it was Rhys Hoskins, who swung at the first pitch, a grand slam to left field, the crew securing a 6-3 win. I asked Hoskins if he just reacted to the pitch or thought about it before the at-bat.
Just trying to get something up, regardless of, first pitch or not, just really trying to be ready to hit. There have been times, I think, in the last month where I've been a little passive. But, yeah, I think just the situation called for something up, and just happy to not miss it.
The two teams meet again tomorrow night. NFL, Green Bay announcing the new Packers president and CEO, Ed Policy, who's been with the team the last 12 years. He'll replace Mark Murphy in a year from now. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time where our friend and executive producer of Civic Media, Mr. Luke Mathers, is in for a Tuesday Tangents. Talk about the upcoming presidential debate, weather, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 81, west winds up to 20 miles per hour. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 51. Lots of sun for Wednesday, highs near 69, and sunshine for Thursday with a high of 73. Showers and storms return Thursday night into Friday.
Currently 63 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a totalitarian Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We prepare for a presidential debate, most important in your lifetime.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, unfortunately, another stormy night for a lot of Wisconsinites. Welcome to a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Thank you so much for your continued rainfall updates and weather notes. They're all appreciated. I'll get you the latest updates that I've received when we talk with Stumacher, ag meteorologist, about the weather ahead. Now, speaking of that, for the Madison and La Crosse areas, it looks like you've got a pretty good chance of staying dry today. It is going to be sticky, though. The humidity is definitely going to return. Taking a look at the La Crosse area, sunshine and clear skies on the way today. You'll top out around 86. Madison, you're going to have more clouds. Sun will show up. Daytime highs in the Madison area around 89 degrees, but the heat index values are going to push into the upper 90s. Now, the interesting part, normally I say the lakeshore gets a break on the temperatures. Today, that is not the case. And you've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms along the lakeshore. High today around 91, and that heat index will push you towards 96 degrees. So again, another one of those days where you're going to have to manage yourself, your neighbors, your employees, as well as your livestock. Stumach, ag meteorologist, on the way with the weather details you're looking for.
Lely Center Monroe is hosting an open house on June 26th in Blanchardville at Farron Grunenfelder's Farm. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., attendees will see Lely milking robots and the Lely Juno feed pusher in action. They will also be treated to a free lunch and gelato provided by Lucky Cow and will be entered to win a Lely Luna Cow brush. So make plans to attend the Lely Center Monroe open house in Blanchardville on June 26th. Full details on Facebook at Lely Center Monroe.
There's a lot to be excited about at North Central Technical College as they have a brand new meat lab housing the school's new pasture-to-plate butchery program. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and this unique program offers hands-on experience and industry-standard training, preparing their graduates for successful careers in the meat industry. Culinary instructor Chef Brock Decker says it all started thanks to the COVID pandemic.
About 4 years ago, we were obviously ran into the difficulty of the pandemic, where we didn't have enough skilled hands to handle all of the meat production that was coming off of farms. And unfortunately, that means that those animals had to be slain without any good use to them. Well, to keep that from happening, the state's invested funds into education in meat processing, but also in obviously raising animals and the like, so that we don't have that problem again.
So can you provide an overview then of just what the program is and really what the students learn by coming through this?
So the pasture to plate program is exactly what it says. It's taking an animal from the pasture, a humane slaughter, inspected, so fully legal for sale, and bring it all the way to the plate, to the end consumer, whether that be in the form of a ground meat that you buy at a meat counter or in the form of a restaurant created dish. So we're going to go through the entire process of HACCP certification that will allow us to both create and sell to end users and to wholesale users like restaurants.
So take me through, maybe I'm in the class, what does a typical day in a sense look like? Obviously, you're not doing it all in one day, but if you had to kind of combine it into a day to give us that overview of just how you are incorporating those ethical practices on the farm, but then also, you know, you're being that food safety, all of these things that go into it.
So you're right that obviously that's not one day's worth of learning, but the student generally comes in for a 6-hour lab period, and whether that period includes being off of campus in on the farm where we would be humane slaughtering or taking care of those aspects, or even just seeing the animal as it's naturally moving around so we can understand a little bit more about the whole story of what's going on here. all the way then back to the campus itself. And you're right, sometimes a little bit of that is book learning. We have to understand what safe food safety is, right? And how we, what temperatures we can handle on meat at, those kinds of things. What kinds of safety precautions we have to take. But that's why we have a huge cold lab in place right now. So after the student learns the facts of the matter, they get to then go into the cold lab and they spend 6 hours breaking down animals. It's a heck of an experience, and it's very closely models what they would be doing in industry.
So we've got these cuts now, depending on how we're going to use them, you know, depending on what kind of cut we're using. What's next then? Take me through a little bit more about the facilities and the different equipment that these students get to use.
Absolutely. So we're real excited about the fact that this particular cold lab has tons of equipment that the student will be able to see before they get into industry themselves. Things like emulsifiers and rollers and grinders, and of course your bandsaws. So we've been able to put together industry standard equipment that the student will get experience working with.
So it goes to the plate. So how are they learning now to cook with these cuts that they have? Take me through that next step.
You're right. That's only half the battle, right? We have all these wonderful looking steaks, or we have a burger, or we have some meat sticks. What are we going to do with that now? Well, part of it is getting it to a restaurant plate or a home plate in the sense of the end diner. And part of it is selling from a meat counter standpoint. So a meat counter standpoint might sell something that's partially cooked, like a meat stick or a jerky or those kinds of things. Or they might sell something completely raw in the form that we would create it there. But our students are also getting a chance to go into our culinary classroom, cook the steaks, cook a T-bone to see how difficult a T-bone is to cook for various reasons, right? So they're getting a chance to see what those pair with and get at least the introduction to a culinary education behind that too.
And you guys also have a student-run restaurant called Spoons. Take me through how that also ties in with all of this incredible things you have going on.
Our culinary program has branched off into two different directions. First off, into what we're talking about today, the Passion of Plate program, and also into our hospitality management program. And Spoons is a kind of a representation of all of that together. Our student-run restaurant is, as you might guess, run by our students, the culinarians in particular, but soon also our hospitality management students will be contributing to running and working in that facility. The meat processing students are selling their products out of that facility as well. So Spoons really offers us a chance to interact with the public. It's exciting.
So you kind of touched on that, those career paths and those opportunities that are available for these soon-to-be grads from this program then. Take me through the certifications that they have or industry standards that now they can take onto their next steps and get that job because they learned it here.
Well, there's certainly the difficult certifications of things like safe food handling and HACCPA plans and the like that your average person just cutting meat won't have a background in order to create those kinds of programs. So by giving people those kinds of backgrounds, we're hoping to allow them to have both an entrepreneurial path and also a path into management so that some of these places that may be old family-run places that are struggling to find new blood to keep them running will have both the intellect and the bodies to keep it running.
So how many animals, if you had to give an estimate number-wise, are you guys able to process maybe at a time, a week, or, you know, kind of can you give me some more of the logistical numbers of just the amount of stuff coming through that you guys are doing?
So we're not a quantity production facility. Our goal with the students in their 9 months of class is to take down one beef animal, one pig, and one lamb, along with, you know, chicken and a couple other things that come on through. Sometimes if we have extra time, we work with seafood, those kinds of things. But our main goal is one animal each so that they get to see each of the mammals being broken down.
And then with that, are there specific cuts? I mean, you kind of touched on it, but specific cuts that they focus on that you guys, like, specialize in? Or because I think a lot of people, you know, like you said, you're butchering it humanely, but you're getting a lot of the ground beef or like those types of things. And now they have a chance to learn all of the other opportunities to use this animal for.
So making a buck out of an animal is tough. You really have to know something about the cuts. If you take an animal and grind it all the way down into ground beef and then try to sell that ground beef, you won't get your per pound price back for that animal. We have to do things like use the bones for stock, use the what we call the money cuts to in order to have an increased cost in those. So your T-bones, your tenderloins, your New York strips, your ribeyes, those kinds of cuts, we have to be able to identify them and say, hey, we can make some extra money off of these. So yes, absolutely. That's what the program is about, is taking the butchery cuts, not the cuts that we might always find on the farm, the butchery cuts, and how can we make extra money off of them? And then comes the difficult part. How do we price each of those different parts of an animal, knowing that each one has a different amount of desirability? We get a different amount off of each animal, right? You might get, you know, 500 pounds of ground off of something, but you only get 6 pounds of tenderloin off of it, right? So how do we price the differences? We can't just look at the market always. Sometimes we have to look at what we have available, especially if we're running a small meat shop.
So obviously this really contributes to their education, of course. It's why they're here. But how do you see it really contributing to the broader economy, too, just economic development?
So ultimately, the goal, of course, is to strengthen the meat processing chain in our entire economy. And that's going to happen two ways. First off, we're going to have more skilled labor in the chain. And second off, we're going to have more outlets, as in more meat shops, more entrepreneurs starting up their own services. And hopefully that's going to result in new products, too. So from a consumer standpoint, I think we can all be excited about, wow, we're going to get new flavors of meat sticks, for goodness sakes, or new flavors of brats. But from the other side of the standpoint, from the farmer side of this equation, they won't be left in that horrible situation of not having any outlet for the animals that they've raised and fed and spent their livelihood on.
And now back to the class. How many are enrolled? How many can be enrolled? Just kind of those logistics of any future class updates or information that people should know about.
Our first class is a little smaller because we're still in the process of building our cold lab. And now that that's right on the cusp of being open for business, we can take about 12 students in. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot because a cold lab is huge. But you have to remember that we're working with huge pieces of meat, sharp objects, slippery surfaces, all those kinds of things. So 12 is what we're hoping to do currently. If we can fit more in later, we will for sure.
And there is kind of an added bonus for those who are interested, correct? There is some tuition help there. Take me through what that is.
So that's a really neat part. Included with the funds that that the state gave us for starting the program were tuition funds. And we're not sure how long those are going to last. So it's a first come, first serve basis. But there are currently funds out there so that your tuition is 100% paid for, and all you have to buy are your boots.
Culinary instructor Chef Brock Decker along with us talking about North Central Technical College's new Pasture to Plate program. Applications are currently being accepted for the program for the upcoming academic year. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Last year, we reported on accusations of a pastor using his Alaskan church to funnel money to an anti-ranked choice voting group. Most fines levied by the state for not fully disclosing the donation were upheld last week, and a separate case challenging the repeal initiative it supported will be heard this week. The Alaska Public Offices Commission levied $94,000 in fines last year against Arthur Mathias, pastor of Wellspring Fellowship of Alaska and president of the church-affiliated Ranked Choice Education Association. Mathias used the association to contribute $90,000 to Alaskans for Honest Elections, a political group trying to repeal 2020's ballot Measure 2. Measure 2 implemented ranked choice voting, top four open primaries, and protections against dark money donations. Alaska's TrueSource statutes require disclosure of a donation's original source, limiting untraceable dark money in campaigns. Mathias argued the fines were an unconstitutional impingement of free speech. Judge Laura Hartz disagreed, writing, "There is no constitutional right to make anonymous contributions for the purpose of influencing the outcome of an election." In a separate case this week, the group supporting Measure 2 challenges the validity of the repeal initiative, claiming Mathias and others violated signature gathering requirements. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands.
it only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the overnight storms. Hopefully everyone is okay. Then we're going to talk to Eitan Levine about his quest to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Specifically, all across not just Wisconsin, but across the United States. One of the hosts is Scott Spaulding, who is a big supporter of the program.
You know, having that veterinary school and now the expansion of the veterinary school is going to, you know, it's doubled the size of the space that's there. It's increased the class, the teaching area that's available. When the veterinary school first opened, you know, they were seeing a few thousand cases a year at the veterinary school. Now they're approaching, I believe it's over 30,000 cases, 30,000 patients are seen at the veterinary school every year. So they were just in such need of expanding that facility, not only to see patients, but also to train our doctors, our veterinarians of tomorrow.
Scott Spaulding, he is one of the veterinarians at the Badger Veterinary Hospital down in Janesville, acting as host for all the guests today, celebrating the 175 years of UW-Madison's influence on things like our UW Vet School, which is a critical partner for those practices in Wisconsin. Our own Aubrey Schlimgen is going to be there today to visit with those folks and talk about the state of the state of large animal vets in Wisconsin and beyond. Right now, I think a lot of folks worried about the weather. Stu Mock, ag meteorologist, joining us this morning. Madison stayed relatively calm last night. It looks like you're in the eye of the storm this morning, Stu, up by Eden, huh?
Yeah, the eastern part of Wisconsin, it's already gotten a little quiet out my window, but I've got some reports nearby. My friend John over near Armstrong, an inch of rain so far. He had some marble-sized hail up on the Sheboygan, Fond du Lac County border, right on Highway 23. An inch and 35 hundredths reported this morning. So rain coming down, quite a bit of wind. You know, we'll see what happened once the sun really comes up. I'm also seeing Appleton with an inch and 45 hundredths of rain just being reported this morning right after 5. So a cool front's pulling into southeast Wisconsin. Still some rain falling right from that Fond du Lac to Plymouth, Sheboygan area and out across the lake. Some rain just south and east of Madison. Still in parts of southern Jefferson, Rock County. There is a thunderstorm warning still in effect from areas like Rock County, Janesville, and up through Jefferson County, Dodge County, Fond du Lac County, Calumet County, and further up and all along the lakeshore. The rain will be ending this morning. That front pushes a bit further east. We start to dry it out. A slight rain chance could pop up in the west late tonight. Otherwise, it looks like we stay dry finally until a bit later Thursday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compeer Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to 6 locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal. Yeah, I got another text this morning from the Alto area saying they got quarter-inch sized hail overnight too, Stu. So let's get that behind us. I hope it happens soon.
Yeah, the system's pulling out. I mean, severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 8, but I don't think we'll have that activity. Farmer John says the animals are pairing up too, so we're watching carefully. Rain in the east ending this morning. Clouds will be clearing out, becoming sunny from west to east. I still expect mid and upper 80s, warmest in the west and south. Tonight, a little cloud cover builds in, that slight chance of a shower west and northwest part of the state. Low and mid-60s overnight with a northwest breeze at 5. Mostly sunny Wednesday. A nice break in the upper 70s. Northwest breezes 5 to 10. Mostly sunny Thursday. Mid-70s. Winds become southeast Thursday night into Friday, Pam. Another round of rain. Not this heavy, but we'll have a little more rain to wrap up the week.
You tell Farmer John I'll start paying attention to lumber prices in case that pairing up leads to something.
I'm sure he'll work with you.
Building of the Ark, you bet. All right, dude, thanks. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, along with us this morning. The talk text line is open to you, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Go ahead and share what's been happening in your backyard. Doesn't have to be specific, but please do let us know if you're seeing some weather in your area on a Tuesday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's going to be a first, the U.S. Surgeon General to declare gun violence a public health threat.
Surgeon General Vivek Murthy says gun-related deaths for American children under 19 are more than 120% higher than other high-income countries. His report says more than half of U.S. adults say they or their family members have experienced a gun-related incident, anything from threats to death. The Surgeon General says it's now a national health crisis, with firearm violence now the leading cause of death among children and adolescents.
ABC's Andy Field. Observers say a ruling by Israel's Supreme Court could topple Prime Minister Netanyahu's ruling coalition. The court ruled that Israel Defense Forces must begin drafting ultra-Orthodox men for military service. A federal judge in Chicago sentenced Ed Burke, formerly the longest-serving alderman in city history, to 2 years in prison for squeezing developers who needed his help in securing permits. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Milwaukee tourism had a historic year in 2023. Visitors spent over $2 billion in Milwaukee County. That's a quarter of Wisconsin's 2023 tourism profits. Visit Milwaukee President and CEO Peggy Williams-Smith held a press conference ahead of the Republican National Convention's arrival in the state's largest city.
We believe in economic development based on tourism. The more people we can bring in to go to shows at the Pabst across the way, or the Riverside, or the Symphony Center, or come to Summerfest, we know that that helps the entire community.
The RNC is expected to attract 50,000 visitors to the city of Milwaukee. The National Weather Service has confirmed 6 tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin this past Saturday. Tornadoes formed during severe thunderstorms from warm, moist air. Higher temperatures and severe storms could be causing more tornadoes. We've had more than 30 so far this year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the defending World Series champs, the Texas Rangers, reload again tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. Last night, the Brewers with a 6-3 win. Right-hander Freddy Peralta striking out 6, allowing 2 runs in 5 innings, but he thanked Rhys Hoskins for his grand slam in the 6th.
You know, Rhys, he was a little struggling. You know, everything sometimes for a reason. Look now, he was the man for the game. He just hit a homer with the bases loaded. That's perfect.
Hockey, the Florida Panthers with a 2-1 victory over the Oilers to win their first Stanley Cup.
It is about the result, obviously. So that's where the mind goes. How do I get them back to that place that they can play with enough freedom so we have structure and we have discipline and all that? But what we needed to and what we were different about tonight is that we played with some freedom. We didn't play the game not to make the mistakes and certainly not to lose, but we tried to win the game.
That's the Panthers head coach Paul Maurice on ESPN after the win. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome host of the WRJN Morning Show here on Civic Media, Don Rosen, who talks celebrity encounters. And Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson joins to discuss weird Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 81, west winds up to 20 miles per hour. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 51. Lots of sun for Wednesday, highs near 69, and sunshine for Thursday with a high of 73. Showers and storms return Thursday night into Friday.
Right now, it's 65.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you drop consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Sticky day on the way for basically everybody in the state of Wisconsin. It looks like we'll see temperatures that could push into the low to mid 90s, maybe even upper 90s. So make sure if you've got to be outside, for example, storm cleanup duty, have a lot of water available and take good care of yourself. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Like I said, it looks like La Crosse and Madison are going to stay dry but steamy. Temperatures in the upper 80s, heat indexes into the 90s. Along the lakeshore, you've got a sliver of a chance of rain, and you are going to be hot and steamy today as well. Stick around. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. We'll take a look at the latest crop progress report, areas of concern the market may be paying attention to with all this rain and flooding. He'll be joining us live in about 15 minutes. So today is the 25th day of June. What can I tell you? On this day in 1947, the Diary of Anne Frank was published. A fascinating story. I was fortunate to actually visit the museum where the Frank family hid out. The Diary of Anne Frank, obviously about her life hiding from the Nazis. It was published after her death. She died at the age of 15 in a concentration camp. That was released on this day in 1947. We do have a couple happy birthdays this morning. Most notably, actor, comedian, writer Ricky Gervais is 63 years young. What really caught my attention this morning are the death anniversaries today. On this day in 1997, Jacques Cousteau, French biologist, passed away. On this day in 2009, Michael Jackson died. And on this day in 2009, Farrah Fawcett also died. And now you know. June 30th is just around the corner, and the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection wants dairy producers to know they still need your survey. The clock is ticking. Dan Bauer, supervisor with the Wisconsin Farm Center, joined me in studio yesterday to explain how important this data is and what it ultimately turns into, namely programs and policy.
One of the big purposes that we'll be able to do is this can help us as a department, as an agency, you know, tell the story of Wisconsin agriculture to the Wisconsin legislators and elected officials. And in other ways, too, that it can help is it can help inform and kind of steer research when you think about UW colleges, researchers, both nonprofit organizations and for-profit private organizations. And then their big thing I think that it can help do is it can help anybody that's in the farmer assistance space kind of prioritize what resources they invest their time and energy in. You know, what resources do we need to continue to offer and what new ones do we need to bring to Wisconsin farmers to meet oncoming challenges?
Well, and you've got some reference points. When was the last time that this survey was taken? And Dan, what did we find out then and how did it help?
Yeah, the last time the survey was taken was in 2020. And at that time, we had a 40% response rate, which I think is incredibly impressive. I did a little bit of internet research, and what the internet will tell you is when you do a survey of this size and scale, if you get a 20 to 30% response rate, you're doing really well. So anything above 30 is excellent. So in 2020, you know, Wisconsin producers really stepped to the plate with that 40% response rate. And you kind of asked, you know, what were some things that were done with the 2020 results? And I think a big, big achievement is in 2020, there were several questions about farmer mental health. And I know that's an issue, Pam, that you and your team have helped us cover heavily. And thinking about that in 2020, so summer of 2020 at the Department of Agriculture, we launched our farmer wellness program. And that program, I know you've covered it here on the radio, you've covered it in print media as well. You know, we're seeing some of the highest usage rates ever in those services 4 years later. So to me, you know, that's a great example of something we covered in 2020 and something that, you know, your state's elected officials and state servants were able to act on and deliver on.
Now, obviously, this is going to be a different survey, and it does have a little bit different emphasis. Tell us about that, Dan.
Yeah, and you hit that, Pam. You know, we try to keep it about 30 questions. And the reason we do that is you said it in your intro. Farmers are busy. You know, it takes time to give thoughtful responses to a survey. So whenever we approach a survey, again, we have about 30 questions kind of in mind, 30, 35. And then you just try to prioritize. You know, there's some questions that you absolutely want to ask again. And the reason that's important is you want to measure trends. You know, is the responses changing up or down, staying neutral? You know, are the trends the same? But then you might take some questions that you made progress on, you know, the mental health questions being an example, and replace them with something new. So here in 2020, you know, something that we've chosen to really hit on is a focus on sustainability and conservation practices. And in our minds, you know, we think that's going to help dairy marketers tell the story to consumers of all the good work Wisconsin dairy farmers are doing in this space. A couple examples of those kind of questions, you know, do you have a nutrient management plan? Are you working with conservation professionals? Do you incorporate cover cropping on your dairy farm? If no, you know, why or why not? That's some of the new areas that we'll delve into a little bit on this 2024 edition.
There you go. Dan Bauer, he is the supervisor of the Wisconsin Farm Center collecting the dairy data, and they'd like your survey completed by this weekend. Now, again, if you've not received a survey, you can call them 800-942-2474. That's 800-942-2474, or send them an email and request your dairy survey, farmcenter@wisconsin.gov. We'll be the first ones to try to get you all that data when it's released later this summer. All right, markets and overnight electronic trade this morning. Like I said, corn, beans, and wheat, everything is bleeding red ink right now. We did get our latest crop progress report yesterday, and if Wisconsin farmers are an example, no farmer is very happy with their crops. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service showed that right now 65% of Wisconsin's corn crop is called good to excellent. That's down 4 percentage points in a week. That's the same pattern we're seeing with soybeans. 64% of our soybeans good to excellent, down 3 percentage points from last week. Winter wheat, 97% of that crop is headed out, and quality seems pretty good according to growers. 86% rated good to excellent. That's up 2 percentage points in confidence compared to last week. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are under some pressure. Right now, we've got December corn down 4.5 at 447. November soybeans down 6 at 1124. July wheat's down 2, 550. Barrel cheese yesterday dropped a half a cent to 191.5. 40-pound block cheese, that went up 4.5 at 189. Double A butter dropped another 2.5, still at 306.5 per pound. The July class 3 milk that goes into cheese, 2 cents stronger right now, 1989. The August milk closed 27 cents higher at 2084 a hundredweight.
We have got some USDA guests that are in Wisconsin this week. Today, for example, I'm going to be catching up with the chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service, Terry Cosby. He's in town for the Sand County Foundation's national meeting in Madison, but I understand that this morning he's headed over to UW-Platteville, and tomorrow he'll be in the Milwaukee area making some announcements on some federal grant monies that are available. So we welcome Chief Terry Cosby to Wisconsin. Today is also the day USDA Undersecretary Jenny Lester Moffitt is going to be at Decatur Dairy in Broadhead. She is going to announce $12 million available through the Dairy Business Innovation Grant Program. So that's another USDA official that's going to be in the state. We're trying to track them all for you. That is for sure. Coming up next, we are tracking the marketplace on a Tuesday morning. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, our next guest.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and today's work money word is fiduciary. Well, fiduciary is a mega important term that you gotta know when it comes to getting professional financial advice. In the world of money, you want someone committed to the fiduciary standard because those folks are legally obligated to act in your best interest only. I mean, every other broker or advisor or banker who has not specifically committed to the fiduciary standard and told you that that's what they're doing, those folks don't have that obligation. They could be selling you products or encouraging you to invest in things or put your money in places that end up helping their wallet even more than yours. So simply put, anytime that you are hiring a financial advisor, ask them if they uphold the fiduciary standard. For me and mine, fiduciary advisors are the only ones I'm trusting my money to. That was your Work Money Minute. For more, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time where our friend and executive producer of Civic Media, Mr. Luke Mathers, is in for a Tuesday Tangents. Talk about the upcoming presidential debate, weather, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He can be found online, totalfarmmarketing.com. You can also pick up the phone and give him a call if you have questions about what in the world's happening in our farm fields and markets. 800-334-9779. Welcome back, John. Glad to have you. And let's talk about this. So the news this morning, basically any place you turn is about the flooding that's occurring in the upper Midwest. Not necessarily even so much here in Wisconsin, but elsewhere, huh?
Yeah, obviously, if anybody hasn't seen the news over the weekend, the major rainfall that came in that southwest Minnesota, northern Iowa, you know, southeastern North Dakota area, where obviously multiple inches of rain came at aggressive time frame. We're seeing the pictures from the flooding from those communities out there, as well as, you know, just to talk in terms of what could be done in the crop damage and things along those lines. And again, very tragic stories overall, and, you know, pray for everybody out in that region that things are getting, you know, back on track as possible. But, you know, Mother Nature still keeps putting some more rain on the radar in here. You know, I was on the road up through Minnesota over the weekend, over the last week here on vacation, and put some windshield time in and didn't see any of that major flooding. But obviously, you know, there's a lot of rain through northern Wisconsin and, you know, through that Stevens Point, Wausau area over into the Oshkosh area, you know, over the last week as well. And you can see the water in the fields. You can see the ponding in the low areas and things of that nature. And, you know, obviously it's a concern right now for producers is, you know, what could be the yield loss, what's happening with the nitrogen in the soil, or just the inability to get back in the fields to get some side dressing on, things of that nature. And, you know, the market right now is just not reacting. And I know that was a question I dealt with a lot yesterday is why isn't that reaction occurring? You know, at this stage, the rain makes green mentality kind of still sits in the marketplace. And it's going to be something that'll probably shake itself out when we get into, you know, late summer and October as we start those combines rolling, or we start getting some yield checks and field checks out there. And then we can see if there really was some damage. If you remember when we had the derecho event, the market actually went down for the time frame after the derecho. And it wasn't until we got into the fields in August and September that we realized that, hey, we got a problem here.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Time delay when it comes to reaction on what a plant is going to do. And did you see anything, John, in this week's crop ratings report that caught your eye? I mean, is it state by state? And like you said, the overall effect not catching traders' attention?
Well, the two biggest things that came into mind and when I was looking for in the crop progress numbers, I saw already some trends starting last week. You know, we obviously are wet here in the northern tier of the Corn Belt, but the southern part of the Corn Belt, Illinois, Indiana, out into Ohio has been dealing with the heat and lack of moisture. Now, some producers in Indiana picked up a real nice rain on Saturday night that really was a bit of a lifesaver for some of them from talking to them yesterday. But Illinois stayed warm and dry. Ohio stayed dry and warm at the same time. And really didn't get the moisture they needed. And we saw the crop ratings slip significantly last week and got some more drop this week because of the heat. Indiana actually was down 10% week over week on those crop ratings, again, reflecting some of that damage maybe that occurred from the heat, with the exception of some of those areas that got that moisture. You know, so crop ratings continue to slide down another 3% this week, down to 69%, good to excellent. Again, what the market was anticipating off of that report, but again, there's a lot of negative signs on the board there from each state individually, whether it's because of wetness or it's because of the heat and the lack of rain that, you know, has been dealing with those crops over the last week or two here.
Interesting. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. Remember, you can find their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. You can reach out to John by calling 800-334-9779. Now, you tell me that we are going to get a little bit more information from USDA this Friday, huh?
Yeah, actually, a lot of information this Friday. The most volatile report of the year is the June grain stocks and acreage report that comes out on the 28th. So we'll be watching for that and how that plays out. Right now, just expectations. We're going to see a few more corn acres, maybe about another 300,000 get added on. I've seen as high as maybe 1 million acres get added on in terms of some of what the pre-report estimates are. So the market's kind of anticipating that. And we typically do see a gain of acres from the March report to the June report. And now this year, I got one thing that was concerning me. There was about 6 million acres of principal crop ground that was not on the March report, and we want to know where that possibly has gone to. So that's one of the things that's got me a little anxious for this market is that anticipation of more acres coming for both corn and soybeans here, even with the wet weather, against what the planting intentions were at that time frame. And the other side of it, too, is grain stocks, and that's going to tell us where the grain is. And actually, if you look at the two markets, corn and soybeans right now, you can see the difference. The expectation is there's still a lot of corn in producers' hands, and that's some of the reason we cannot get this corn market to find any true footing in here is the fact that when we get some type of movement, we got farmers selling across the board, whether it's here in the United States or in South America as they continue to wrap up their harvest. On the soybean side, we think most of that product has moved to the end users, and that's why we're seeing some decent strength in that front end. Now the end users are looking for a little bit more soybeans here. We got some extra demand that's kind of kicked in here lately. Maybe it's due to the South American Brazil situation in terms of maybe a thinner crop. And we're seeing some strength in that July-August contract on the soybean side versus where corn just can't seem to find any footing right here in this window.
When will we know a little bit more about Brazil and Argentina, John? I mean, that's always a tough one for me to figure out what stage they're really at.
It's a tough one for the market in general to figure out. It's one of the reasons why the USDA keeps their targets so high, because things constantly are changing. They're constantly finding more acreage or things of that nature. To me, it's all about the cash market. What happens there? What's the competition like from the export side and the prices that are available on exports? If Brazil's starting to run out of beans, you'll see it in the export price and we'll get some business back our way. You know, we've had some issues down there that's caused some tightness in terms of their supply movements. And that's some of the reason we're starting to pick up a little more bean business here is just the fact that we've gotten more competitive on that export price even with our price drop. So those are the biggest things. It's really what happens on the export side, because when those they pump those beans and that corn into that export market, when it starts running out, you see the prices fluctuate very quickly, and then all of a sudden the U.S. gets active or more competitive on that export front, and that is something we definitely need to see as we get ready for the 24-25 marketing year.
That was the story last week, how bleak exports are for agriculture currently.
Yeah, the export situation is something that's a wet blanket over this market right now, and especially for the new crop. We still have yet to see any sales for corn or soybeans to China off the new crop for the 24-25 marketing year. And right now, 24-25 marketing year soybeans is one of the worst sets of sales on the books in over 25 years.
Oh, appreciate the update, John. Oh, good to have you back. Wish we had better news coming off your vacation. We'll catch up with you next week, okay?
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg joining us live this morning. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. If you want to call them, 800-334-9779. It's not just about the grain trade, folks. Remember, they are risk managers all the way around, no matter what you're involved in agriculture. All right. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Young.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise?
Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Some tips for detecting avian influenza in humans today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
While actual cases of humans contracting avian influenza are rare so far, it doesn't hurt to keep watch for it. Jeff Bender, director of the Upper Midwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center at the University of Minnesota, describes symptoms.
Cough, fever, joint pain, muscle aches, and conjunctivitis or redness of the eyes as being some things that we've seen with some of these zoonotic influenza, these animal-to-human influenza strains.
For dairy workers, as an example, Bender says there are resources available to assist in verifying a diagnosis.
Contact appropriate authorities that will help guide with diagnostic tests and just appropriate follow-up treatment recommendations. And oftentimes you'll get that through the state health department.
Bender also cautions that it's not just dairy workers who may be at risk.
It's another reason to not drink raw milk. There's a number of things that can be transmitted in raw milk. And so I'm not a big proponent of raw milk consumption. I think pasteurized milk is the best way to go. Pasteurized cheese is the best way to go, the safest.
Bender was featured in a Q&A provided by the Migrant Clinicians Network. There's a link to more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Crude and Dom. Tune in for a totalitarian Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We prepare for a presidential debate, most important in your lifetime.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange reached